My Dear Fiona by Frances Rosenfeld. Chapter 26, And Miles to Go Before I Sleep. I spent some time on the pier after our parents left, watching the cruise ship get smaller and smaller into the horizon until I could barely make out its contours. Denise sat by my side with uncharacteristic patience and said nothing. I didn't realize how different I was here until my old life visited, and brought all of its patterns and details with it. But I am two people, Fiona. Two people, with two different families, lives and interests, hundreds of years apart. They coexist in perfect harmony, barely touching each other, my lives, and neither one can relate to the other, and I'm content with that. I have been since I can remember. These visions of you that scream loud from my blood have an existence of their own, coherent and continuous, a true story, or history, that could have happened, and that makes sense. There is an extraordinary emotional purity in the stories you unfold before my eyes, even in the face of unspeakable cruelty and such little worth assigned to human life. There is pure untarnished joy and lightness of being, and the willingness to offer oneself, to give all of oneself, to an ideal. We're such sophisticates now, aren't we? In the original sense of the word, we weave this complicated artifice of a life and wrap ourselves in it, to distance ourselves from our primal drives, true emotions, desires and meaningful experiences. A more comfortable life, for sure, more polished, more polite, an acceptable persona to present to the giant costume ball we call society, where nobody is who they seem. I'm drawn to your shining soul, Fiona, like a moth to a flame, because it holds back none of the joy and agony of human essence. It's innocent, like a child's. If the ability to feel fully and engage in existence, holding nothing back is what it means to be alive, you are by far the living one between the two of us, my princess. I have buried myself so deep under the layers of conformity I don't think I'll ever find myself again. I often think I created you to host my true self, the one I can't bring out for air in all the normal unfolding of research assignments, family dynamics and social drama, but you're too real to be a stand-in for anyone, and the visions of you running inside my mind are too different from my normal life for me to have cut them from whole cloth. The truth is, we are not curious enough to dig deeper into what sparks human interest, especially in those whose devotion to a concept or a subject spans a lifetime, so who knows, maybe my illusory connection with you is not as weird and uncommon as I thought. We hide ourselves, everything that matters to us, behind convention and statistical average, so we don't stand out from the crowd and be judged. The stories you tell, the things I see in my mind's eye, make it clear now that tragedy, unfairness and inconsolable hurt drove humanity to grow that way, like a bonsai tree pruned and stunted to live longer, need less, and fit in its pot. I'm not enough of a hypocrite to pretend I would have liked to live in your times, Fiona, to experience humanity in all its savagery, injustice and greed. I just can't help respond to your undiluted emotions, so powerful and clear they still reverberate in this land after hundreds of years. I grew up with you, just like I did with Denise. I know what you look like, and when I close my eyes, I see you clearly. Funny, I know, if that image is wrong, how am I ever going to know? I cannot ignore how real your story feels. It is undeniable and unshareable, and it led me here. Maybe it is this place, so different from the landscape I grew up in, it casts a veil of magic and wonder over the mundane. Maybe it's sharing these strange experiences with my sister, who is as anchored in reality as any human being can get. Maybe it's fate, I don't know. It is possible that being immersed in nature and visiting lost civilizations resonated deeply with me in ways made impossible by our sedate daily living. God knows people have retreated into nature and solitude for centuries in order to access the spiritual realm and find their true self. My presence here brought more questions than answers, but they are the questions that matter, the right ones which put you on a path to learn more. Although I'm not sure my colleagues at the Institute would find that an acceptable result of my spending an entire year here digging through thousand-year-old human bones. I'm well on my way to producing what my social circle expected of me when it sent me here, a thorough analysis of the life and customs of your time, Fiona. My work will be documented, scientific and have just the touch of humor that would please colleagues and family. But I know enough now to understand this research is the means, not the goal of my visit here, and I'm nowhere nearer understanding your story than I was when I started, because the human experience is an endless regression, There is no bottom under what you can learn about someone. Judging by how loud your voice still is, after all these centuries, our souls are infinite and imperishable. You, Jirun, your son, your life in the village, everything is still here, woven in the fabric of the present, and in so many ways you are just like me, as if we're all engaged in an entertaining game of merry-go-round that starts and runs and ends, and when that happens, someone new takes our place to experience it all again, through fresh eyes, while those who had already been on the ride are watching from the sides. I didn't realize my inner musings took so long until the silence struck me as unnatural, and I turned my eyes to see Denise fast asleep curled up on the stone cap of the seawall, wandering the realms of Morpheus with a peaceful smile on her face. I'm such an exciting company, I put my sister to sleep, Fiona, we all have our talents. What's that dream? I thought that before day rose, to clear Valhalla, for slain folk. I rested my eyes for a moment, they were feeling gritty from staring into the horizon, and I felt a soft touch on my palm, and when I opened them again, I saw it was a soft feather. The memory you shared with me about the fateful morning when you put your soul inside a bird to set it free returned to give me the shivers. The bird was a gray gull, it seems, judging by the evidence laid gently in my hand. What are you going to do with that? Denise asked, very much awake. Can I have it? Sure, I handed it to her. What are you going to do with it? I'll think of something. She grabbed it and put it in her pocket. What are we doing today? Research, Denise. Research. An agonizing groan followed. You promised to help me. We're so far behind I can't even tell you. I lied to engender sympathy. Denise returned me a grumpy stare meant to express she didn't believe a word I said, but begrudgingly got up. Let's go, she mumbled. I'd like to salvage a semblance of this day to do something fun. The sooner we finish working on your research, the better my chances. The sun was high in the sky at the 11th hour, and its crudeness made me feel uncomfortable and forlorn, like returning from a funeral on a bright summer day.